Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen. I'm going to just piggyback on Pastor Luke's sermon from Sunday. And if you haven't heard it, you need to go online and listen to it. It's absolutely powerful on going through your Red Sea. And one of the phrases he used really connects with what I want to teach tonight. And it's just that power of not going back. And I believe I have a word for everybody if you open your heart. But there's people here tonight that what I'm about to describe to you is exactly the position you find yourself in. And God is asking you not to go back. Because as pastors, we hear this all the time. It is so common when we see people come into the presence of God, receive the Lord, give their hearts to the Lord, and eventually, little by little, they start drifting away from the things of God. And as pastor, that breaks our heart. We don't want people to go back because there's nothing back there for you. There's nothing back there for you. And it's so crucial for you to understand is because what happens is there's many descriptions of this. The most famous word in the Bible or that this uses is called the apostasy, meaning those who have fallen away, who have returned, who are going back. Once we're walking with Jesus and are no longer there. And God is asking you not to go back. I don't know if tonight you came with, well, maybe this is my last Sunday church, or maybe I'm not too satisfied with my walk with Christ. I'm gonna give it a shot tonight. If you're in any condition like that tonight, I am asking you to really, really focus in what I'm about to tell you because God does not want you to go back. Nothing that I will tell you tonight is probably news to you. I'm not gonna give you some big breakdown theological revelation, but it's so interesting that for many of us, the most basic things are the things that trips us off. Is the things that makes us fall away, is the things that kind of are hard to handle within the gospel. Here's how I found out about this verse that we're gonna look at in the book of Hebrews. We're not gonna see many verses. We're gonna focus on the book of Hebrews chapter 5. If you wanna go there, Hebrews chapter five and 1 Corinthians. We're gonna kind of bounce between those two, but it's Hebrews chapter 5. We have a tradition in our family, my wife and I, that we always do Thanksgiving with her family and her father. And so they live in Las Vegas, so we go every Thanksgiving to their family. And so my first year moving to the United States many years ago was actually a Thanksgiving at her house. We didn't like each other. As a matter of fact, she didn't like me at all. But I was invited to go to their house because I was new in town. And so her dad invited me to go to their house for Thanksgiving. Lo and behold, a few Thanksgiving later, we're married. So a few Thanksgiving later, then we have kids. So one Thanksgiving, I have my two boys and I have a little girl. And so we show up and the two boys are old enough to kind of eat by themselves. And so we show up at the house for Thanksgiving and I find something that as a Hispanic, I did not grow up in the States. So as a Hispanic, I wasn't used to seeing this. I get to the house and there are two sets of table. There is an adult table and there's a kids table. That was new to me. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. As Hispanic, everybody sits at the table. If you don't feed, you sit in somebody's lap, and we all eat from the same plate. And you just kind of carry on, you know? And so I had never seen that before. I had never seen a set table for kids. You know, we just kind of eat together. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And what I learned, when we're going to learn today, when we look at Hebrews 5, is that there are purposes for each table and each location. Each table has an understanding about it, has a set of rules that go with it, and so does the adult table. And for me, this is a whole new world that I was discovering. I was like, oh man, this is amazing. You can have things here that are different than what is over there, even though the meal is the same. Even though the meal is the same. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, the author of Hebrews starts telling us something so important about this. How everyone ate the same meal, but not everybody could handle it the same way. Let's read it. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, of whom we have much to say. He's talking about Melchizedek and Jesus and all this stuff and explaining it to them as he goes into chapter 6. You guys have already been through that. You guys are in chapter 11 in La Roca. We have way many years to catch up to you guys. But we're about to go into chapter 7. So he says, I have much to say about their heart to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. If you have your Bible, go ahead and put a line around that. We're going to look at that. Verse 12. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, a baby. Verse 14, for solid food belongs to those who are full, who are full age. That is, those who by reason, oh, so good, of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, both good and evil. So right there in Hebrews, the writer starts to give us a situation. He starts developing this idea that there is a meal, and the meal needs to be connected to the right age of who you are and what you do. And it's very, very important to get this principle, because when you go to the kids' table, the forks were plastic. You know, the paper plate was for the kids. The cups were different. The drinks were different. And so there's a whole new set of rules over here that doesn't apply to here. When I went to the adult table, things are nicer. You get glass, you get silverware, you get an actual nice napkin to use, you get crystal, you get a great meal, you get a bigger portion, amen. So it's all, you know, it's all according to the situation. And he's saying, hey, listen, there's people in the church who have partaken of the meal, but within that meal, there's people who cannot handle the meal the way the meal is designed. And the reason why he starts explaining to that is that pushes people away from their walk with Christ. And God doesn't want that for you. He does not want you to go back. Can you say that with me today? I won't go back. And the reason why you won't go back is because you have to look at the problem and correct the problem. And here's problem number one, is that the way I listen determines my development. It is so important for us to do this. The way I listen determines my development. The way I listen to the Word of God, the way I see things, the way I evaluate things, how I listen, is going to determine how I develop. Have you ever interacted with somebody who has selective hearing? I have a preteen. I'm working on that. Selective hearing. And so we all, some husbands, we have selective hearing from time to time. And so all of us have selective hearing for certain things in our lives. And so it is so uncomfortable to have a conversation with people with selective hearing, because they're only going to hear what they want to hear. Oh, you did that too, huh? Or how about this one, about your mama would tell you, hey, listen, it goes in one ear and comes out the other ear. This is a reality for all of us. And in Christianity, it does happen. Verse 11 says, you have become, since you have become dull of hearing. And one translation says, you are spiritually dull because you won't listen correctly. So here's what the writer of Hebrews is describing. He's saying, hey, in a congregation like this, there are people who are fired up with God and people who are not, but they're both getting the same meal. Don't leave yet. It'll get better in a minute. I'll let you off the hook in a minute. Because when we become dull of hearing, we become selective in the process of God in our lives. And let me tell you, there are things God is going to ask us and tell us that are not comfortable, that are challenging, that are difficult. But just like Elijah, Reverend Elijah said today, but he does have great plans for us. He's for us. He wants us to go further in life. But the problem is we have to listen to those things. I mean, all of us at one point when we're adults realize, my goodness, all that stuff my mom said is becoming true little by little. All that stuff my dad said. I mean, we were all there, but at the moment, there was no way we're going to pay attention to all that. And he's saying, listen, there's people who become dull of hearing, and we need to process the information and learn to listen to that in our own lives so that those things start working in our life. Pastors feel that way, like things are just going in one ear and out the other. Reminds me of a joke someone told me. I hope it translates the same way, but if it doesn't, laugh anyway, just help me out. I have a fever, I have a cough. I mean, come on. No, I'm kidding. So these three guys go hunting. There's a pastor, a lawyer, and a doctor. And so they go hunting, and when they go hunting, deer hunting, they're all there, and they see a deer, and they'll go off at the same time. Pow! Oh, man, yeah, I hit it. No, I hit it. And so this discussion ensues. They walk over to the deer. Oh, yeah, no, I hit it. And the doctor goes, okay, listen, I'm a doctor. I know how to examine the body. I'll determine who hit the deer, okay? Guy takes his time, flips it over.
flips on this side, looks at it and goes,
it was the pastor. And the guy's like, what? How in the world can you tell it was a pastor? Because the bullet went in one ear and out the other. That's who hit it. That's cold, huh? I love self-deprecation. It helps, it helps, it helps, it helps. Hearing is so powerful. Hearing determines how things are filtered in our own mind and our own hearts. Hearing our own voices actually helps us rewrite our brains, reconnect our senses. Hearing is so powerful. And so for us who are able to connect those senses, the Word of God is asking us to put them together. Even if you are hearing impaired, there's things they do in order to connect to the senses and to the area around them, because developing those things are super important. The way you process information has to become crucial for you in order to grow in the kingdom of God. That's problem number one. Then he tells us the second problem, because the second problem is very, very important that he brings up today. Let me first read Hebrews 5, 12 to 13 in the New Living Translation. Hebrews 5, 12 to 13 in the New Living Translation says, you have been believers so long. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. You have been believing so long that you should be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. Man, that's amazing. He's saying, you've been believers so long. Instead of teaching, somebody's having to teach you. Next verse, part B. Says, you're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Once again, he's saying, because you've been in this so long, yet you're not processing the information right, you're having to be at this table and not at the main table. And let me tell you, any of us want to move from one area of another in our Christian walk and in our walk with God. And God wants to get that. But let me keep reading, because it says it's so beautiful. He continues to say, verse 13, verse 16, say, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. He's saying, listen, these things, in order for you to do this, you have to learn to balance. Here's why. Because my foundation is going to determine my stability. My foundation determines my stability. This is nothing new. Jesus talked about it, people build a house on rock and on sand. I mean, there's so many verses about it, yet we ignore it. In the book of Corinthians, this Paul says, you can build with wood, hay, and stubble, but in the end, it'll be tested by fire, and it'll be determined however you build. Are you with me? Here's what they're saying. Your foundation, the way you build things, really determine those things. And here's the way he says, listen, you ought to be teachers. You should know something. And that reminds me, riding bikes. Riding bikes is such a crucial expression. You guys know the expression. When people tell you something, oh, you can do it again, it's like riding a what? Riding a bike, because once you learn it, it is in you. I have a funny picture I did with my middle son, Gabriel. I don't know if they have it there for me, but I was working with Gabriel, if we can put up that picture. And so when I was working with Gabriel one day in the garage, oh, there it is, he put it on the side. And so I'm working with Gabriel, and I say, hey, Gabriel, let's do a race, right? By the way, Pastor Luke says, hashtag, what are those? Talking about my Crocs. That's just wrong right there, bro. Those are the original Crocs, by the way, huh? And so I'm working with Gabriel. I mean, the tires are practically flat. I'm sitting on this thing, right? And he's trying to smile like, Daddy, get off my bike. But so we're going to race down the driveway of our house. And it was a fun thing. But as you can see in this picture, that bike is not designed for me. That bike is not designed for me. It is out of place. And many times, because the foundation, even though I know how to ride a bike, I'm riding the wrong tool, something that is not designed for me. Many Christians find themselves just like me in that picture. They're riding the wrong bike, and they're not getting it. You can remove my shame from the screen now. Thank you. I heard a story, true story, of the sister of a friend of ours here at church, and she said, you know, my sister, when we were little, we used to ride bikes, and my dad removed the training wheels from the bike. And one day, we were riding bikes, and my sister decided to ride her bike while holding a straw. And I told her, you cannot do that. You have to have both hands on the wheel to control it. You cannot do that. You cannot ride. And so she didn't listen. Riding tripped over. The straw went into her throat. I mean, just horrible. She's great. She survived. Everything great. They run to the hospital. They fix her up. Poor little girl. A few days later, A few days later, the whole family, mom and dad and sister, say, hey, let's go ride bikes. The whole family, let's go ride a bike. And she throws a fit. No, I'm not going to ride a bike. Brings out her training wheels. Come on, you got to put back the training wheels. I can ride better if I have the training wheels. You have to put them back. And the dad said, no, I'm not putting back the training wheels. Because the reason you fell was not because of the training wheels. The reason you fell is because you weren't listening to what we were asking you to do. And so that said, if you want to come and have fun with the family, you're going to ride your bike the way you're supposed to ride it. And she threw a fit, but then she got on the bike, the whole family went, and they had a blast. And the lesson is so important for us because as Christians, we get on the bike, we fall, and then we throw a fit at God. Put the training wheels back on. I can't pray the way you want me. I can't read the Bible. Man, I skipped on church. Look, I'm tripping on this problem. I'm going back to my addiction. And so we're telling God, put the training wheels back on because I don't want to grow. I don't want to grow. Growing is painful. Have you seen the memes some people put, I don't want to adult today? Some people... My son told me the other day, because I was telling him how the way they were born, oh, and Gabriel and Ethan, you were born this way, and Gabriel, oh, it was so much fun, and you were so beautiful, and my daughter, oh, it was this way, and Gabriel goes, I want to be a baby again. I said, why would you want to do that? Wear diapers? Come on, man, don't do that. He said, I just don't want to go to school, period. So he's looking for a way to just say, hey, man, I'm done with school, and I'm barely in the fourth grade, you know? And so for all of us, just that process of growth in Christianity is the same way. We're telling God, hey, listen, can we find a way to put the training wheels back on? Training wheels back on? Here's how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. He says it this way, 13:11, talking about love, but then he makes an expression that's so powerful. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away, what? Childish things. Here's what Paul is saying. I hope this, we did not test the chair prior to service, but here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, many people in their Christian walk find themselves exactly the way I am. They're grown adults sitting at the kids' table. And they're frustrated that they're at the kids' table because it's so much fun over there, but they're unwilling to take the steps that you need in order to be over there. See, in this table, I can spill my food and it's understandable. Everybody at this table gets that. If you spill your food over there, there's a problem. See, over here, if you cry about vegetables, everybody at this table is going to get it. But if you cry about good food over there, it's different. See, at this table, many Christians are frustrated. Here's what the Christian is saying. Pastor, I want to be at a greater level in my walk with Christ. I want to be at a greater level in my walk, in my Christianity. How do I do that? But what they're doing is they're sitting at the kids' table and complaining about wanting to be at the adults' table. This was not designed for you. The Bible is asking you to put away childish things and move on to the things that are over there. Because at this table, you're going to be frustrated. The chair doesn't fit you. Eventually, it'll give out. Hopefully not tonight. But eventually, it'll give out. My knees don't fit under the table. I don't want to eat on a paper plate and plastic. I want to have a better drink, iced tea. Don't be thinking the wrong things in San Bernardino, you know? Then what they serve here. Kool-Aid is not my thing. But you know what's crazy? The meal is the same. When we did Thanksgiving, we served our kids gravy and turkey and mashed potatoes. Everything that came with it was served to the children. But the rules of this table were designed for them, the portions, everything. When we came to this table, it was completely different. You're comfortable. The conversation is better. Everything looks great. The meal's going to be better. If you spill here, like I said, it's kind of weird. It's different. Because we're adults here. But you know what's amazing? There's a certain level of freedom here that there's no freedom over there. I'm more comfortable here. I'm willing to grow here. I can do other things here that God designed me to. But in order for me to move from that table to this table, Paul's saying you have to put away childish things. Childish things. And it all begins by listening. If we listen, then God starts a process in our heart. Because once you listen, you can start building the foundation of your life in what Christ wants to do for you. He's already laid it out. But we have to start building on that foundation in order for God to edify in a greater way in our life. Once again, Corinthians, Paul says it in a different light, and I like it too. Chapter 3, verse 1 in the New Life Version says, Christian brothers, I could not speak to you as a full-grown Christian. Whew, wow. As a full-grown Christian, I spoke to you as men who have not obeyed the things you have been taught. I spoke to you as if you were baby Christian. And that is the powerful statement that we have to understand. Many times in Christianity, we've complained about baby Christians, but we've ceased to understand that the problem is not with them. That behavior is expected of them. If somebody gives their heart to the Lord today, with many will, I believe, or Sunday or whatever, and then next week they show up and they're smoking in the parking lot before they walk into church, I'm okay with that. But if you've been at it 10 years, we got to dig deeper and figure it out. Did I get too close? Am I meddling your business? Do you understand what I'm saying? Paul says, childish things, they have to go away. We have to start putting them away. Because if not, it's just crazy. It is that process. It is, you know, when somebody sits here and then, you know, and throws a fit over here as an adult, that's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. You're like, you know what? You go back to your mom's house because I ain't raising a big old child. I got my own. It's just, you know, it's out of place. So our foundation is going to determine our stability. And that phrase that he says right there, I spoke to you as men who have not obeyed the things that have been taught, lead me to my final point tonight that is so important for us to see when he says there, you have not obeyed, and it leads me to something crucial, which is this, is the way I act determines my maturity. The way I act determines my maturity. See, it is not biblical knowledge. The confusion in Christianity has been that biblical knowledge expresses how mature I am. And that is so, let me put it this way. People who are mature tend to know a lot of Bible, but not everybody that knows Bible is mature. Let me put it in that phrase. So knowledge of the Bible does not equal spiritual maturity. And the perfect example of that comes from the Bible. The Pharisees knew more Bible than anyone. The Pharisees knew it, back and forth, all the laws, yet. Jesus will come and teach them, and I was teaching this to the students in my teaching class in homiletics in the Bible college. Jesus comes and teaches, and the people say, we've never heard anything like that. And the Pharisees are like, what do you mean? What's up? I've been here. I have the degrees. I'm at the synagogue every morning, every Saturday. I'm being teaching. What do you mean you've never heard? This guy's new. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And people are saying, no, you have no idea. This guy's saying it in a way that you never said it. You want to know the difference? Jesus took the knowledge of the Word of God and made it applicable to our life. Because what Jesus was saying, it matters not how much you know, but it matters how much you do about what you know. About what you know. I heard a phrase that rocked me to my core many years ago. It says that we are educated beyond our level of obedience. Let me repeat it again. We are educated beyond our level of obedience. We know so much about the Bible, but we're doing so little about it. Man, I got in trouble right there, Pastor Dan. Rescue me. This is for all of us. God is leading us. He doesn't want you to go back. He's so passionate about you moving forward and reaching the things he's laid out for your life. But in the end, you have to listen, you have to build, and then you have to do. You have to listen, you have to build, and then you have to do. If I just listen, that's great, acquire information, but if I don't do anything with it, it is just information that's accumulating. And a perfect example of that is we were taking a course, as a matter of fact, Pastor Luke alluded to that, we have this software to study the Bible, and so all of us went through a training, and I remember it was a 30-day training, 15 minutes every day, and then you're supposed to study for half hour after that. I was great week one. Week two, I was 50%. And I think I have the rest of the emails for week three and four still laying in my computer. And the reality was this. I heard it. I did some of it, and then I just kind of lost the passion to do it. And so literally, I purchased a Lamborghini of Bible software, and I'm driving it like a Toyota. That's the bottom line. I put a search for one verse and kind of read the verse. Well, I could do that in any other software. I mean, you can do it for free online. And the bottom line is, I heard it, I see it, but I'm not doing anything about it. And the Bible requires action for all of us, requires action. Here's how he says it in the book of Hebrews 5:14. You with me today still? Says it said, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, who are of full age. That is, those, here's where it gets absolutely powerful, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here's what he's saying. Unless you do something, you're not going to learn it. And here's what people start going back. Pastor, I'm failing. Pastor, I make mistakes. Guess what? Jesus already knows that. And all he's asking you is that you continue to do. Continue to do. So you fail a couple times, then get up and go back and do it. Because the only way you mature is by exercising the ability to distinguish between good and bad. And the only way to distinguish that is by actually doing something about it. And many people feel they have to be perfect from the get-go. I am telling you today, God doesn't want you to go back. He just wants you to get to practice so you can enjoy it. It's so important. So important. My son, Gabriel, also I have a lot of frustration because he's a very interesting guy. He loves sports, and so we had him in soccer recently, and so we did a tournament, and I'm always on him, Gabriel, you have to practice. He's a decent athlete, but he's just one of those guys who loves just to play. I don't want to practice, just put me in the game, and I'll play. And so I'm like, Gabriel, you have to practice. You have to practice your crap. You have to practice. You're going to go, oh, yeah, Dad, well, maybe, oh, yeah. So we show up at this tournament in High Desert. And man, there was, you know, Colton and Victorville and Palm Desert. I mean, this is like everybody's there. And we show up and there's I think we're playing the team from Palm Desert, right? And so we're playing this team from Palm Desert. And so when we show up, these kids, mostly Hispanics, mostly Mexican kids, and they're there, ah, pa, and they're kicking it out, chicharito, pa, and they're all, pa. It was like, man, and so I'm looking at this team, I'm thinking, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, right? So I'm telling Gabriel, I was like, Gabriel, man, get out there and then practice because, you know, man, lo and behold, we lost 10-0. 10-0. It was like playing against the national Mexican team, like Chicharita, everybody was on it. I was like, oh my God, it's a beatdown right here. And so when the game ended, I told my son, I said, son, it's all about practice. That's just the way it's gonna go. These kids are so excited, their parents are so into, they get them to practice, they get them to do that. And in Christianity, it's no different. It's all about practice. If you see somebody that has a great marriage, I can guarantee you they're working at it. If you see somebody who has a beautiful relationship with God, I can guarantee you they're working at it. If you have somebody who say, man, they pray so awesome, I can guarantee you they're practicing at it. If you see somebody who has knowledge of the Word of God, I can guarantee you they're reading and studying the Word of God. You're no better or worse. All you need is practice. All you need is to do the Word of God, and everything will change in your life. Everything will change in your life. That's what God is asking us to do. Because He doesn't want you to go back. He doesn't want you to go back. He absolutely loves you. And here's what he wants. He doesn't want to see you frustrated at the kids' table when he's laid out a banquet for you. Psalm 23 says, he laid out a banquet for you. In the presence of your enemy, he's done a good thing before you. He wants to bless you and restore you. You got to own it. I'll end with this. Book of James 1:25. James is one of those books that if you've never read anything else in the Bible, James just... how can I put it? It'll rip you apart, and then it'll build you up, and then it'll offend you, and then you put it away, and then you read it again because it's the Bible. You can't quite get offended with it. James is just powerful that way. So, but he's talking about, you know, if you see yourself in a mirror and then you forget about your image, then you've done nothing. Then people who don't practice the Word of God are like that. You know, you go to the mirror in the morning like, oh, yeah, come on. God is good all the time, whatever. And so, but you walk away, and so the wind comes, the rain comes, your gel washes out, all that stuff, whatever. And you don't look at it again, you don't fix it. He says, it's like somebody who did that are those who hear the Word of God and don't put it into practice. And then he goes on to say, look what it says, verse 25, New Living Translation, but if you look carefully, Oh, wow. If you look carefully, if you take the time, if you examine, if you read it, if you absorb it, if you consume it, if you come to service and take notes, or if you listen on the road. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, Pastor, I get it on my phone after service. I download it into my phone, and since I have to drive to LA to work, I listen to the messages 2 and 3 times every week. I was like, that's it. That's it. You are taking the time to look carefully into the perfect law that sets you. Sets you what? Oh, wait. Sets you what? I thought the Christianity was the no gospel. Don't drink, don't go out, don't do that, don't look at that, don't do this, don't do that, and give your money. That's the only thing they're asking you to put back. I mean, that's the concept. That's the concept people sell to us, yes or no? And many times we consumed it. And he's saying, that's not true. It is the perfect law of freedom. It is the perfect love to set you free from all those mindsets that bring you back to the place where he doesn't want you. All those mindsets that get you off of that table and back into that table. And God is saying, I don't want you there. I don't want you there. But you have to look carefully at that law. And then it says, because, or and, if you do. Oh, wait, so you have to look carefully. And if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard. Man, that verse is just too much. If you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then. Can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. Then. So he's saying, listen, if you do and you pay attention, then God will bless you for doing it. God will bless you for doing it. Church, if there's one of the frustrating things about the modern gospel, especially twisting of the grace, is that we've used grace as the dumping grounds of our faultiness and problem, and not as the empowerment to overcome it. And God wants us to grab grace and overcome those things that hold us back, not just dump it on and say, okay, well, grace covers it, and grace this, and grace that. James is saying, listen, you have to do something about it. You have to do something about it. It just doesn't go away. And I think for most of us, we do that. All of us, starting with me, there's an issue, and so we go to bed and wake up hoping it goes away. And God is saying, don't go back. I have a solution. If you adjust your hearing, start building, eventually you'll have something so solid for doing it that your life will be absolutely blessed and upward momentum. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for you in every area of your life. And tonight, that is exactly what he does. And that is exactly what he wants. Church, anybody here, don't go back. Don't go back. Adjust your hearing. Start seeing in your life, what am I building? It's going to take time. It's going to take time. Building takes time. Transformation takes time. But I am telling you that when you do, you'll be absolutely blessed and transformed in every area of your life, because that is the guarantee he put in his own words. If God spoke to you, give him a hand. He deserves it.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.